Good morning. It's 18 minutes after 8 a.m. You're tuned to your community radio station, Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it's 48 degrees under overcast skies. Joining me in the studio is Martha Pearson, Health Promotions Director at Search, here to talk about Search's behavioral risk study. Welcome to Morning Edition, Martha.
Thanks, Melissa.
Well, first of all, let's talk about what a behavioral risk study actually is.
Doesn't it sound intimidating? It really shouldn't. The Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance Study is a standard study used in public health, and as opposed to the measures we all get taken when we go to the doctor, like our weight and our height and our blood pressure, those are certain health measures that most people are probably familiar with. The behavioral risk factors look at the habits and behaviors that we all have when we're not at the doctor's office. So things like the types of foods we eat and how often we exercise, whether we smoke or not, whether we feel depressed or down on given number of days a week, things like that that help us as a community understand the factors that lead toward health or away from health.
So these are all related to individual health, but they help paint this picture, create a story of community-wide health as well. How is this data used? Why is this data important?
This data is important because it's very hard to kind of know. I think people certainly know what they themselves do, and maybe their family and their close circle of friends. But outside of that, most people don't have an awareness of what the whole community as a rule is doing. What Search is undertaking this fall is a phone survey of around 600 households across the region. There'll be about 30 of our communities surveyed. So we make an effort to do a comprehensive job of just Southeast Alaska, because that's going to be most interesting and relevant, I think, to our communities. And then the questions will be asked over the phone anonymously. So I encourage people to be absolutely honest in their responses, because it's not intended to make people feel badly or guilty about anything that they do. At the end of the day, we'll have an interesting report and study that tells us where we are in terms of, do you feel like you have access to health care, and is that working for you? Or if you're diabetic, how is that being managed? A lot of really interesting, I keep calling it a story, Melissa, because I think it's an interesting story. But what it will do is, I think, spark conversation about how people relate to these health factors in their community.
Well, what is Search hoping to see? See conversation created? Are there any tangible results they're hoping will result from these larger conversations?
Well, one very tangible result is that we as a whole community will be able to work together to make improvements that make it more likely for people to have healthier lives. I think most would agree that a healthy community is important. And so, for example, you know, in the community of Sitka, people can look at this data and say, wow, this seems to be lacking over here. How can we, no matter who we are, come together and make improvements in things like access to healthy foods or safe places to exercise and be with our families and be active, things like that. So those are just two examples that come up in my mind, but there's lots of conversations that could come about as a result of this.
Well, the community coming together and as a whole deciding, well, what does a healthy community look like to us? And then taking those tangible steps to making those changes and creating that reality.
Exactly.
But without the information about what the community looks like now, you have no sort of jumping off place, is my understanding of this.
That's true. I mean, when making decisions for a community, it's sort of a natural response. Somebody would say, hey, Melissa, what do you think we should do about XYZ? And most of us would answer as an individual. Of course we would. With the data like this that shows what the whole community is really doing as a group, that gives us all something that we can look to and say, well, this is what the majority or what the whole picture looks like. And so we can better make decisions. We have precious resources. I don't need to tell anybody that. You know, how can we use those precious resources, both funding and our time and our energy as people, to create these communities and sustain the things we want to see sustained?
Well, right now you have in front of you the 2011 behavioral risk study, and then the data that comes out of this study will be compared to that. But the 2011 also does some comparisons, and what's some interesting information there?
Well, this is the 2011 executive summary that I have in front of me, and this was compared to a study that was done in 2008. So, for example, between 2008 and 2011, adult smoking significantly went down. And I think that that's a really interesting thing. So in Southeast Alaska, fewer people were smoking. And that's a credit. I think one of the benefits of doing a study like this is the people who work in this field can say, wow, whatever, you know, we're all working on this, but it's working. People are quitting smoking. It's having a positive effect. That's what we want to see. And other things such as cancer screening, you know, are people regularly getting screened for cancer or diabetes? When you look at causes of sickness, causes of disability, it's frankly kind of easy to get sad about things sometimes. You can say, wow, all these people, you know, are suffering from a cancer or a heart disease in their family. And what can we do as a community to make that better? You know, what can we do? There's certain things that are not in our control, but there are things that are in our control. And having people get regular screenings with a provider of cancer and heart disease on a yearly basis, that's one step that people can take to at least know where they stand in terms of their own physical health. So the Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance Survey tells us that certain number of people got screened for cancer, but a lot did not, and that's something to work on.
Well, and then questions arise, right? Like, well, why?
Yeah. Or was it about you didn't think it was important, or did you think you couldn't afford to go to the doctor? You know, that's where all those other questions then come up. But in the big picture, I think that a study like this ultimately gives us a picture of ourselves. And from that, we can choose to move forward or sideways or backwards as we think is fit. And that's what's so exciting about it. And it makes surveys like this really worth doing.
Well, I think what's really interesting from the takeaway I'm taking from your message, I think it's very easy to look at these kinds of surveys as just being of interest to the public health community, you know, and just being esoteric and not important to me in my daily life. And you're here saying, no, this is all about you, and this is all about the community and daily life.
I think so. And it also has a very strong benefit to business. For example, one of the hallmarks of our Southeast Alaska Behavioral Risk Factor Survey is we specifically ask questions about fish consumption. This is a subject near and dear to the heart of Southeast Alaskans. Many families make their livelihood off of commercial fishing or subsistence fishing. And so to ask the question of, you know, how often do you eat locally caught fish that's either purchased by you or gathered by you in a subsistence model? And when that answer in 2011 was 15% of respondents ate fish caught from Alaska waters at least once a day. Now, 15% to someone from Southeast, the down south part of the United States, I remember having a funny conversation with some colleagues from Atlanta, Georgia, and they thought that was a huge number, 15%. But for Southeast Alaskans, that might not be a very high number.
It's a little surprising to me.
Yep. So we can look at that and say, what can we do to ensure that people who wish to live a subsistence lifestyle can and are free to do so? What can we do to increase access to healthy local fish? These are the questions that we as a community then can move forward and answer with some good data behind it.
So calls are happening now, or they'll be starting shortly?
They have already started. Okay. So people might have already received a call. I also realize, as you mentioned, this is the season for lots of political surveys. And so it's sort of unfortunate that there's a lot of phone traffic going on. But I encourage people, if they get a call for a health survey or the behavioral risk factor survey, to please go ahead and answer it. It's about a 10 to 15 minute conversation. So it is a commitment of time. But the result is going to help our community know where they stand in terms of many really important health factors. And that's a good thing.
Great. Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning, Martha.
Thanks for having me, Melissa.
We've been speaking with Martha Pearson, Health Promotions Director at Search, about their behavioral risk study.